Chapter 18.
The Elf King.
Kaas repeated with wide violet eyes.
I'm afraid so.
Asta nodded. Are you sure?
I'm sure. I was there before and know what it looks like.
What does that mean? Why were you there?
I was caught stealing.
Asta bit her lip.
It was only some bread to eat, but it was from a cart headed to the king's palace. They threw me into the dungeon for a month. A month!
Kaas gasped, and her violet eyes grew even wider. Asta hung her head and nodded. Oh, Asta, I said, and I pulled the beautiful elf girl into my arms. I'm so sorry you went through that.
It's awful there.
She breathed into my chest.
We have to get the dragon out. The Elf King and his men are vicious and cruel.
I couldn't even imagine what Asta had gone through when she was in that dungeon, but all I wanted to do was shove my sword through the man who had put her there. I knew she'd been down on her luck when I met her, but I never realized how bad it was. She'd stolen bread just to eat something, and that thought saddened me terribly. I never wanted her to have to do that ever again. I never wanted her to go hungry or feel the need to steal to survive. I would take care of her, always. I wouldn't push her and ask what they'd done to her. I'd just take her word about their cruelness and allow her to tell me about it if she chose to of her own accord. We'll get them out, I said before I pressed a kiss into the elf girl's hair. You may want to think carefully about your plan. Ramir frowned. What do you mean? I asked as I looked up at the sorcerer.
The Elf King and Odin are allies.
Kaas bit a lip. Oh, right. I sighed. If we attacked the Elf King outright, it could cause a war between our two realms. And I was sure Odin wouldn't be happy to lose an ally. We couldn't attack the Elf King without putting all of Asgard at risk of retaliation. Ramir was right. We'd have to carefully consider what we were going to do about this. As much as I wanted to free the dragons, it wouldn't help anything if we caused a war between the two realms. That would only put us behind where we needed to be, and it would let the Elf King and all of the dragon traders in Asta's realm know we were onto them. If they knew we were out to stop the dragon trade, they could try to hide the dragons they had, or get rid of them somehow. Maybe sell them to someone in another realm. I let out a breath and pursed my lips. Things had just gotten a lot more complicated. After that realization, we were all a bit downtrodden, so we headed back home to try and figure out our plan. The sun shone as we walked, which cheered me up some, and I reminded myself it wasn't long ago that Blah had hatched and this all began. I knew I was going to free the dragons, but I had to do it right. This entire situation was still new to me. But the girls and I had managed to accomplish a lot in the short time we'd known about the problem. It wouldn't be long until we put an end to the entire dragon slave trade. I just had to keep pushing until we got there. We arrived back at home in the early afternoon, and I picked a couple apples for everyone before we all took a seat in the grass.
I'm going to look through the spellbook and see if I can find anything to help us.
Kaas said as she reached into her satchel. Oh, good idea. I told the strawberry blonde.
I can assist with looking for spells. Okay, I think it would also be good if we created a map of your homeworld too, and I could use your help with that.
What can I do?
Continue working on controlling your ability.
Kaas smiled at me.
Honestly, I think that's the best thing you can do right now.
All right. I nodded. I'll keep trying.
There is one other thing you could do.
Asta said, and she bit her lip. What is it? I asked curiously.
Ira is still coming over tonight, and we promised her you'd make dinner.
Oh, I'd nearly forgotten the warband leader would be over to eat with us that evening. I'd experienced life as an entirely different creature since that happened, and there was still a lot to consider, as far as what our plan was going to be to free the dragon the Elf King had locked up in his dungeon. Still, it had been a while since the girls and I had relaxed, and I always found it easier to think if I wasn't so stressed about the situation. Ira's visit would be a welcome relief. Then I felt myself frown when the realization she'd be there in a few hours sunk in. I hadn't even considered what to make her. I wasn't even sure what she liked. The only things I really knew about her pertained to her role as my warband leader, and they definitely didn't involve fancy dinners. I'd pined after Ira for years, ever since I'd been assigned to her warband, and now my dream was becoming a reality. She'd soon be at my home eating food I made for her, and my stomach turned just thinking about it. I had to impress her, which meant I needed something delicious and extravagant. Ira was a difficult woman to impress, so I'd have to work extra hard to earn her affection. I'm going to run down to the water. We'll have some shellfish with our king's bird.
Sounds delicious.
Asta smiled.
I can make some tea to go with dinner, too, if you'd like.
Oh, that sounds great. And I'll make sure there's plenty of mead for all of us. I didn't know if I could have my warband leader at my house without needing a drink or two.
Thank you, Wrath.
I'll be back soon. Keep an eye on the dragons.
Of course.
Ufe was curled up in Kaas's lap while Inga and Bla flew around the courtyard and played. I wouldn't be gone long, and I was sure the girls would be able to handle the little dragons for a while. I went into the cottage and pulled out the box where I kept my coins. Then I pulled several silver ones out and put them into my pocket. I'd catch our shellfish myself, but I thought I'd go by the market and see if there was anything special I wanted to get for dinner. I grabbed my fishing net, and then I was off toward the ocean near Asgard. The walk down to the water wasn't too long, but I kept up the pace and enjoyed the sunshine on my face as I went. Once I got to the water, I found a spot with no one around and cast my net. While I waited, I looked out at the water and admired how beautiful it was. The late afternoon sun reflected on the deep blue of the ocean, and the waves gently crashed against the shore at my feet. I took a deep breath and breathed in the salty air. Nothing was in my net yet, so I sat down, took off my sandals, and pushed my toes into the sand. The tiny damp grains covered my feet, and beneath the surface they were cool and bumpy. A few minutes passed, and I pulled my net out of the water to reveal three large crustaceans. It was a good start, but I'd need several more, so I had plenty for everyone. We'd have Kingsbird to go with dinner, too, but I didn't want to come off as stingy. Besides, I was catching our dinner, so I could afford to take a little bit of extra time. I pulled the shellfish out of the net, put them into my bag, cast the net out again, and then sat back down in the sand. While I waited for the net to get full again, I gripped my amulet and closed my eyes. I tried to focus on harnessing my abilities, but I didn't see anything like I had last time. I wondered if the dragons knew I could see through their eyes, if they could sense my presence. Did they have to be open to my magic for me to see through them, or was it all up to me? I shook my head and focused back on the sea in front of me. I needed to distract myself, or I would overthink and block my own abilities. It was like the time someone asked me how I flipped my sword in my hand, so I'd tried to figure out exactly how I did it, only to not be able to do it at all for an entire day. I couldn't think too much about it. I had to feel it and let it come naturally. Nidhogg had told me to trust my abilities and my intuition, and that was exactly what I planned to do. It wasn't long until I had a few crustaceans each, for Asta, Kaas, Ira, and myself. I'd even caught enough for Inga, Ufe, and Bla to have their own. I didn't think the little dragons would be too happy about sharing, since they tended to eat as much as a full-grown adult, if not more. I constantly caught Bla stealing fruit or vegetables from the garden, but I knew he was still growing, and he needed as much sustenance as he could get his paws on. I wasn't sure exactly what dragons ate out in the wild, but Bla did a lot of fighting and walking and playing, so it made sense he was hungry all the time. Besides, fruits and vegetables grew in my garden constantly, so it was never a big deal for him to eat as much as he desired. I did worry about when he got larger, but I'd concern myself more with that when the time came. He grew by the day, and I knew it wouldn't take long for him to get as big as I was, and then even bigger. I thought about when he'd first hatched and how he'd fit inside my satchel. Those days were long gone, and he would soon be as massive as Ove or Nidhogg. I could feel it. I gathered up my net, and then I picked up my satchel full of crustaceans so I could head to the market. It would be evening soon, so I hurried up the hill to the vendors and looked round. The market was bustling with people just then, and it appeared to be dinner time. There were families and couples all gathered round the food vendor booths, and I could smell the delicious aromas they exuded as I walked.
"Hey!"
one of the vendors called out to me. I nodded hello, but the guy waved his hand for me to come over. Oh, I'm not interested. I shook my head. Sorry.
You'll look in the celdos?
The dark-haired guy asked with a point at my satchel. Oh, no, sorry. I smiled. These are for my own dinner.
I'll give you 5 pieces of copper apiece.
Oh, maybe some other time.
Ah, she must be a pretty girl.
He grinned.
Too many for just the two of you, though.
She is, but so are the other 2 ladies I'm eating with.
Oh, you've got to have almost 12 in there.
He pushed, and he spread his arms out slightly and gestured at the bag.
Come on, just tell me a couple. I ran out just earlier, and people are still hungry.
I'm sorry, my dogs have to eat too.
Ah, all right. But those look good, so you bring me one of your catches any time. The offer stands.
I appreciate that, I told the guy with a wave, and then I continued down the street and looked at all the wares for sale. I thought about using the money to get Ira something, but I didn't want to come across as too eager. I was already making her dinner, and the last thing I wanted to do was make her feel uncomfortable. If she didn't consider this to be a date, then I didn't want to make things awkward by acting like it was. Instead, I found a vendor who sold specialty herbs from different realms. The woman was very kind, and she picked out a couple different bunches and said they would pair well with my crustaceans. The herbs smelled delicious. Just their scent was enough to make my mouth water. So I bought the bunches she'd picked out for me, as well as a couple more I picked out for myself. I could already tell they would be a great addition to the dinner I was going to make. Ira may be difficult to impress, but I'd learned over the years that good food was one way to impress just about anybody. It didn't matter where someone was from or what lineage they had, everyone appreciated a good meal. I smiled and whistled to myself as I made the trek back home, and when I arrived I found Asta and Kaz in the grass where I'd left them. Ufe laid between them, curled up into a ball, and Bla and Inga had clearly tuckered themselves out because they were asleep in the yard near the apple tree. Oh, judging by the size of their bellies, though, it was also possible they'd taken advantage of the fact that Asta and Kaz were so distracted, and they'd managed to eat their weight in fruit.
Rat?
Kaz said when she looked up and saw me.
Back so soon?
I've been gone for a good chunk of the day. Well, you two must have been studying hard.
We were, but we also washed the suit Prana gave you. It's inside. Yes.
Kaz nodded.
We thought you might want to look nice.
Oh, I see. I smiled. Thank you.
You should take a bath, too. You have plenty of time.
I was going to start dinner.
It's not evening quite yet. I think Asta's right. You have plenty of time. Go wash. You'll feel better afterward.
All right, I agreed. I didn't want to start dinner too early and have Ira show up when it was already cold, so perhaps it was better if I waited for a while. Besides, a bath sounded nice. I went into the cottage and got the fire going to heat up the water. Once that was done, I undressed, took the braid out of my hair, and turned the water on. The tub filled with steaming hot water, and I waited until it was halfway full already before I stepped in and sunk down. The hot water on my sore muscles felt amazing, and I leaned back and allowed the water from the faucet to fall onto my head for a moment to wet my hair. Once the tub was full, I shut the water off and closed my eyes as I leaned back. Then I allowed myself to just enjoy the water for a few moments before I scrubbed my body clean and washed my hair. I didn't want to spend too much time in the bath, since I wasn't sure when Ira would arrive. But the girls were right. It felt good to get nice and clean. After I got out of the bath, I shaved my face and the sides of my head, pulled my hair into a ponytail, and put on the clothes the girls had cleaned for me. Bea's robes fit nicely, and the gray and black matched my eyes well. I felt good, and my mind was clear, which allowed me to focus on dinner. First I gathered some fruit and vegetables from the garden, and then I formed some flour, water, and lard into a dough and lined the bottom of one of my pans. I filled it with some freshly peeled fruit and a little bit of water before I covered it and set it on the coals of the fire to cook. The pie would need the longest amount of time, but I wanted to make sure it was ready in time for dessert. After that was finished, I cut up my vegetables, sautéed them over the flames, and then added in the herbs I'd bought from the market. The dish came alive with the scent of them, and my mouth began to water instantaneously. I added the king's bed meat to the vegetables and covered the pan so it would cook slowly. And lastly, I brought a large pot of water to boil and added the crustaceans, along with the other bunch of herbs I'd bought at the market.
Yum!
Asta said, as she and Kaz walked over.
It smells delicious. Yeah, how come you never cook for us like that? He cooks for us every day.
Asta blinked at Kaz.
Asta? I was teasing. Oh, yes, that's right.
The elf girl smiled and tried to pretend she knew it the whole time.
You look very handsome.
Kaz said, as she sat down across from me. The twilight had begun, and the sun cast a golden glow over the land, so her strawberry blonde curls looked extra shimmery. Thank you, I smiled. So do you.
I look handsome.
Kaz laughed and raised an eyebrow at me. You know what I mean, I smirked.
Thank you.
Ufe walked over and plopped down by Kaz's feet, and a moment later Inga made her way over and climbed up into Asta's lap. Blah found his way to us as well, but instead of laying down like his fellow little dragons, he instead walked over to the dessert dish on the coals of the fire and sniffed at it. Blah! That's for after dinner. The little dragon rolled his eyes at me and laid down right by the dish. Apparently, he thought if he was closest to it, that meant he'd get served first.
Oh, Wrath! I think our guest has arrived.
Asta looked over my shoulder, and I turned to see Ira standing near the break in the trees that led to our home. Ira, I said, and my eyes widened as I took in the sight of her. The redhead's long hair hung down to her waist, and it seemed to glow with the gold of the twilight. Her beautiful tan skin was luminous, and the dress she wore showed it off well. Until today, I'd only ever seen her in warband outfits, but tonight she wore a long, green, strapless dress with a slit all the way up the thigh. It was tied at the waist with a golden rope that matched her gold sandals, and she wore the red owl pendant she'd bought from Ramir earlier in the day. I wasn't sure if it was a makeup or not, but her green eyes looked extra large and beautiful, and her plump pink lips glistened and beckoned to be kissed.
Hello, Wrath,
the warband leader said with a half-smile, and she walked across the courtyard to where I sat.
Are you going to get up and greet me?
Oh, I stood up, but I couldn't take my eyes off her. It was hard to think, with her standing in front of me looking absolutely stunning. My heart rate was out of control, my palms were sweaty, and my stomach was in knots.
Oh, you look beautiful!
Asta exclaimed as she bounced over to us.
Please, come sit. It's not like dinner's nearly ready. Asta's right. You look gorgeous.
Kaz agreed as Asta placed Ira on the bench next to me.
Thank you.
The powerful warband leader smiled, and her green eyes caught mine as she leaned down to fix her shoe. Her full breasts nearly popped out of the top of her dress when she bent over, and I swallowed and tried to tear my eyes away. Welcome to our home, I finally managed to say. The girls are right, you look lovely.
I don't get out often,
Ira said, and she lifted her chin up slightly.
I figured I should dress for the occasion. I see you felt the same way.
The redhead gestured to my outfit, and I'd nearly forgotten I was wearing dress robes. But right then I was glad I was. Ira looked elegant, and if I'd worn my usual attire, I would have felt completely underdressed. Blah walked over to Ira and sniffed her hand.
Oh, hello.
Ira smiled and reached out to pet the little dragon.
Blah, right?
Right, I nodded,
You left the spell on. Oh, sorry.
Cass said, and she stood up.
I meant to remove it before you got here.
That's quite all right. I'm sure you all are busy. Something is keeping Rat from the Vorband, so I figured you all must be doing important work for the Council.
Something like that. Cass pulled out the dragon scales from her satchel and held them in her hands while she closed her eyes and whispered something in the old language. Red sparkles swirled round the scales and then made their way to the little dragons. I watched Iris' green eyes light up as the spell faded, and she was able to see the little dragons for what they were. Bla was at her feet, and Ufe was at Kars's feet still, while Inga was on Asta's lap.
Incredible.
Ira breathed as she looked back and forth between all the dragons.
They're marvelous. They're super cute, right?
Asta smiled and scratched Inga's head.
I suppose they're cute. They are small now, but dragons are magnificent, ancient creatures, and they deserve much respect.
Oh. I guess I never realized what a proponent of dragons you were.
It's not something I speak much about. But it's the reason the Council chose me to assist you with your quest. I've gathered some eggs for them before on missions.
You have? I asked, and my eyes widened with surprise.
There's a lot you don't know about me.
Ira smiled in the sexiest way, and then she absent-mindedly reached up to grip the necklace that sat between her breasts. I watched her fingers stroke her silky skin, and my stomach turned again. Yes. There is a lot I don't know about you yet.
What's your favorite color?
Asta asked, and she batted her yellow eyes with utter innocence.
I'm sorry?
Ira laughed and raised an eyebrow at the white-haired elf girl.
I just thought we could get to know each other better. My favorite color is yellow, but not because of my eyes. It's because of the sunshine. But I like my eyes because they're yellow, too. What's your favorite color?
Ira looked at me with narrowed eyes of amusement, and then she turned back to the elf girl. It was clear the warband leader hadn't been asked her favorite color in a long time, probably since she was a child, and she found the bubbly elf girl's question ridiculous but humorous.
I suppose my favorite color is red.
Ira said with a sweet smile.
But not because of my hair. It's because of the blood of my enemies. But I like my hair because it's red, too.
Oh.
Asta stared at the warband leader with a combination of fear and confusion on her face.
Wrath!
Ira turned to smile at me.
What's your favorite color?
Blue, I answered concisely and confidently.
Fitting you have a blue dragon, then.
Actually, he's the reason for it. I didn't really have a favorite color until him.
I see your new amulet is blue.
Ira gestured to my neck.
I've never seen you wear that before.
I just got it today. I've never seen you wear jewelry before, either. It looks good on you.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Ira looked down and cleared her throat slightly. She tried to hide it, but I could see her cheeks were flushed slightly from my compliment, and that observation only made my palms sweat harder. Bla walked over and sat in front of me. He looked back at the fire where dinner still was, and then back at me.
I believe he's hungry.
Oh, he is. I chuckled and petted the little blue dragon's head. All right, let's get your plate fixed. I started to pull the food off the fire, and Ira watched me curiously.
You made the dragons the same food you made us.
Yes, I nodded. They eat just as much as an adult, and they've grown accustomed to my cooking. They wouldn't eat anything else if I tried.
And why should they?
The redhead smiled.
Not when your cooking smells so delicious. I thought the girls here were giving you too much credit, but it really does smell wonderful.
Thank you. I've had a long time to perfect a few recipes. Ira watched me closely as I prepared everyone's plates, and I couldn't help but feel nervous under her gaze. Every move I made seemed clumsy as my sweaty hands tried to work as quickly as they usually did. She didn't seem to notice, though, and I made sure to give her a plate before anyone else. She was our guest, after all. Once everyone had their food, we all grew quiet. Bla and Inga ate quickly and messily, as usual, while Ufe carefully and methodically ate his dinner. I poured myself and each of the girls a pint of mead to go with dinner, and then we all dug in. The flavors hit my mouth and my eyes closed with satisfaction. Then I realized why everyone was so quiet. The herbs the woman at the market had sold me really had added a nice flavor to the meal, and the Kingsbert meat melted in my mouth like the delicacy it was. Inga and Blob were finished eating first, and after they were done, the two of them stretched and laid down by the fire. Their little bellies were plump and full from them stuffing their faces, and Ira laughed when she noticed them.
Is that how they always eat? Do you ever feed them, Rat? They must have been starving.
I smiled at Ira's joke and reached down to poke Blah's round little belly. Oh, they're absolutely starved all the time, I assured her in a teasing tone.
Perhaps they need to play to burn off some of their supper. I seem to recall Blar being a little fighter.
Oh, he is. I nodded and smiled. Blar, what do you say? The little blue dragon opened one eye, looked at Ira, and then closed it again.
Oh.
The redhead said with a condescending nod.
I didn't figure you for a coward, but I suppose since you're so small and...
Blar shot up and narrowed his eyes at the redhead, and I tried to stifle a smirk. Oh, Ira knew exactly what she was doing. Unlike a lot of people, she seemed to understand just how smart dragons were, and her plan to get under Blar's skin had worked.
How about the sparring match?
Ira asked with a smile. Blar nodded and flew out into the yard. It was quite dark out at that point, but the light of the fire was enough to see by. Ira was always so serious. I was honestly surprised she was acting so playful with the dragons, but I didn't dare say a word.
Try and get me,
the redhead said, as she held up her hands and smiled at the little blue lizard. Blar narrowed his eyes and dove down at Ira, but the redhead was quick, and she dodged him and rolled out of the way only to land on her feet a few meters away. Blar turned round and shook his head as if he were trying to clear it to focus. I could tell he wasn't actually angry at all. He was happy to play and be able to prove his skills. Neither of them were trying to harm each other, but it was fun to watch as they dove and dodged one another. The little dragon hadn't realized what a great warrior Ira was, but she counted him well, and he was very clearly enjoying himself. Inga flew over to join in as well. The red dragon immediately teamed up with Blah, and the two of them tried to capture Ira. After a few moments, Ufe ran over and joined Ira's team. He pulled up small soft balls of dirt from the ground and tossed them at Blah and his twin playfully. Ira's muscles tensed as she dove and ran, and her skirt spun round her legs and revealed even more of her muscular thighs. It was a beautiful sight to watch, and I couldn't peel my eyes off her.
She's quite the warrior, isn't she?
Cass murmured as she cast me a knowing smirk. She is. I nodded. The four of them played like that for a while, until finally they all collapsed on the grass and panted. I laughed at their antics and walked over to retrieve them. Come on. I think you've burned off your dinner. It's probably time for a nap.
I hope I didn't tire them out too much,
Ira said as she grabbed my hand so I could pull her up. Oh, not at all, I said. But as she stood up, her body brushed against mine for a split second, and a fire lit up on every inch she'd touched. Ira's green eyes held mine as she squeezed my palm, and we stayed there for a moment and just stared at each other. The redhead's lips parted slightly, and I heard her breathing grow shallower. I wanted to lean in and kiss her right then, but I was extremely aware of the dragons around us and the girls by the fire. Cass and Asta had been watching us all night, and I knew that right then wouldn't be any different. I could feel their eyes on me, so I slowly let go of Ira's hand and took a step back. Oh, we should get back to the fire. Dessert is ready. Ira smiled.
Dinner and dessert. You went all out for me, didn't you?
Oh, what's a meal without dessert?
I couldn't agree more.
The redhead purred, and she looked me up and down. I swallowed under her gaze, but then Blar's feet hit my thigh, and I looked down to see his blue eyes staring at me. He'd heard me say the word dessert, and he wasn't about to wait any longer for it. All right, let's go get you some dessert, too. Blar, Inga, and Ufe ran over to the fire, but Ira and I walked slowly and took our time.
It's interesting how different they are,
the redhead said as we watched the little dragons run. Yeah, I nodded. Asta's homeworld has dragons that look like Inga and Ufe, but I haven't seen one that looks like Blar yet.
Perhaps he's the only one of his kind.
She shrugged. How is that possible? He has to at least have a mother and a father.
Dragon eggs can lay dormant for many years. He could wear a veil, be the last of his kind.
I frowned at the thought of it, but I also knew the warband leader could be right. Nidhugg had a similar body shape to Blar's, but he was an ancient creature. Ramir had said he was alive before the Nine Realms were created. Even if that was the case, though, I would do whatever I could to bring dragons back to Asgard and find Blar's original homeland. I wanted him to be able to see other dragons like himself one day.
I hope I didn't upset you,
Ira said, and she bit her lip slightly. It was the most emotional I'd ever seen her, and I couldn't help but smile in return. No, you're right. It just wasn't something I'd considered until now.
I see.
The warband leader pursed her lips.
Even if he is the last of his kind, he still has family, and that is all anyone can ask for.
Ira's green eyes twinkled in the firelight as she smiled softly at me, and I knew she meant I was Blar's family. And she was right, but I didn't think she knew just how much her words meant to me. I'd never had a family of my own, so to have one now was a dream come true. I had three adorable and fierce little dragons, and two beautiful and talented sorceresses who depended on me, and it was a feeling I never wanted to let go of. And now, here I was, with the woman I'd pined after for so long. I wasn't the best at picking up on subtleties, but right then Ira was being anything but subtle. It was clear she desired me, and I reflected that desire right back at her. The warband leader was intelligent, fierce, and absolutely breathtaking. Even before tonight, I had always found her attractive, but the dress she wore, and the way her hair was done, everything about her was perfection. I wanted so badly to reach out and brush my thumb across her full bottom lip, but I contained myself. Now, there were too many eyes on us, and while the girls had given me their blessing, I didn't exactly want to put on a show for them. Ira and I made our way over to the fire, and I dished up dessert plates for everyone, while Asta asked the warband leader more and more silly questions. My favorite was,
what's it like being in charge of a group of men?
To which Ira had responded,
filthy and smelling of body odor. Next question.
Her reply made me laugh out loud, because I knew it to be incredibly true. All the men in our warband had never seemed to care about personal hygiene, and I couldn't imagine that had changed much in my absence. I never understood how they could so carelessly run around smelling of feet and sweat, especially not with Ira as our leader. I could understand more if we'd had a male leader, but Ira was so beautiful. I always wanted to do my best and look my best around her, and that included my smell. We had a few more glasses of mead while Asta asked Ira questions, and after a while, I looked down to see Ufe curled up near the redhead's feet. It took me by surprise at first. Ufe was so shy, and Ira was usually so standoffish. But the little dragon had run to her aid when Blar and Inga had teamed up against her. It seemed he really liked her. I suspected he could sense a great respect and admiration for him. I'd said before, Ira was difficult to impress, but the dragons didn't seem to have a problem with that at all. The redhead was absolutely taken with the little lizards. She rubbed their heads and scratched their backs whenever they came close enough for her to reach them. Even then, her foot absentmindedly stroked Ufe's stomach as he slept. The stars were out, and I realized at some point we'd been talking for hours. Ira was a lot of fun outside of battle, and I'd found her to be quite humorous and playful, which was something I hadn't expected.
It's late.
Ira said when she caught me staring at the sky.
I should get going.
Oh, do you have to? Can't you stay for one more glass of mead?
I'm afraid not. We are off to battle early tomorrow. I should really get some rest.
It was lovely spending time with you.
Cass told her with a warm smile.
Likewise.
Ira locked eyes with me.
We'll have to do this again soon.
I'd like that.
Good.
She smiled in the sexiest way and then stood up.
But right now, I really should get going.
Let me at least walk you to the road.
I insist you do.
The redhead flashed me a toothy grin, and I heard Asta and Cass giggle behind me. I ignored the girls as I walked with Ira toward the tree line that led to the road, and once we hit the cobblestone street a half a mile or so away, we both paused and looked at each other. Her green eyes bored into mine, and my heart rate spiked for the 100th time that evening. Her plump, pink lips parted slightly as her eyelids grew heavy, and I reached my hands out tentatively and placed them on her waist. The redhead wrapped her hand round the back of my neck and pulled me down to her, so my mouth was mere inches away from her own. I inched closer to her, and I could feel her breath against my lips. Her body was tense under my touch, and even though I wasn't bonded with her, I could sense the intensity of her desire. I closed my eyes and leaned forward. My lips had barely touched Ira's when a shock of electricity ran through my body, and my desire spiked. She opened her mouth for me. But then the sound of swords clashing cut through the air, and my eyes shot open as my hand went toward my blade. Well, so much for a good night kiss.